Greetings, brethren. Welcome to day four of the Feast of Tabernacles 2016. And after today, we will be halfway through the feast. And during the millennium, it will mark the 500 years of the reign of the kingdom of God. And this is why God has called us. And this is why Jesus came the first time, so he could prepare a way for all of those who he would call to help him rule and reign over all human beings when he returns in his second coming. And what a glorious thing that is going to be. And in fact, this was one of the first things that the apostles preached right after the day of Pentecost. And this is why the early church thought that Christ was going to return in their lifetimes. Now, many of those who have come down through the years have thought that, yes, it's going to happen in their lifetimes. And we have thought that how many times? Let's come to Acts, the third chapter. And let's see what Peter preached concerning the millennium. Now, in Acts, the third chapter, we find this account. Peter and John were going into the temple, and there was a man who had been born lame. And he had been there many years at the gate beautiful, asking for alms. And Peter and John looked at him, and Peter said, verse 6, now this is important, because what is happening here, it's preparing the way for the witness to the leaders. Now let's understand something in our day. There has to be a witness to the leaders of the world, and that is going to be accomplished mostly by the two witnesses. So Peter said to him, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene. Rise up and walk. So he was healed, legs strengthened, got up, was jumping up and down, praising God, walking into the temple. So that was quite a thing. And all the people came together to see, what was this? Verse 12, and when Peter saw it, he answered the people and said, men and Israelites, why are you wondering at this? Why are you looking upon us so intensely as if by our power or our godliness we have made him to walk? Now notice where this comes back to. And everything concerning salvation comes back to Abraham. And we are called Abraham's seed, Galatians, the third chapter. And we are called the seed which will be as the stars of heaven. Now let's continue on, verse 13. The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his Son, Jesus, whom you delivered. You delivered him up and denied him in the presence of Pilate after he had judged to release him. But you have denied the holy and righteous one and requested that a man who is a murderer be granted to you. Now, isn't that the way that human nature is? I mean, just look at what's been going on in this election and think about it. Think about all the corruption, all the sins, all the bodies scattered behind those who run for office. And you know particularly which ones I'm referring to. That's the way that human beings are. Easily deceived. And where does the deception really start? Right here. This is why we're going to rule and reign with Christ and help bring countless millions of people into the kingdom of God. Verse 15. And you killed the author of life, whom God has raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And they just saw him some 50 plus days before for 40 days of that 50-plus days, they saw him resurrected from the dead, and they knew. So think about the kind of conviction and think about the zeal and the strength that they had in preaching this. Remember the sermon that Peter gave on Pentecost. Verse 16, and through faith in his name, this man whom you see and know was made strong in his name. And the faith that is through him gave this complete soundness to him in the presence of you all. And so this is what we also need to concentrate on. This is why we keep the feast of God. This is why we have the Sabbath every week, because every week we need to be refreshed spiritually. See, because spiritual things do not stay in a carnal mind. It has to be constantly nourished with the Word of God, through prayer, through study, growing in grace and knowledge, and this is how we develop the character, so that through a lifetime we will be able to enter into the kingdom of God. And this is what we're going to teach the people in the millennium. Now, notice what he says, verse 17, and now, brethren, I realize that you acted in ignorance, and as did your rulers also. But what God had before announced by the mouth of his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he has accordingly fulfilled. Therefore, repent, okay, and be converted. Now, that's going to be everything that we're going to be teaching in the millennium. And repentance, as we will see as we progress through the feast, will be harder and harder for people to come by. So we'll cover that a little later. Therefore, repent and be converted in order that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. And that time of refreshing is when they receive the Holy Spirit. Okay? And that he may send him who was before proclaimed to you, Jesus Christ. So they were expecting Christ to return at any time. So this is a good message for us. Now notice the next verse, whom the heavens must indeed receive until the time of restoration of all things, of which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. And so that's what we're going to do today. Look at the prophets of God. See how it's going to be restored. See how God is going to fulfill his plan with human beings and bringing countless numbers of people into the kingdom of God. However, understand this. It's going to take each and every one of us and all that God will call and convert that will be in the first resurrection between now and his return. Because this is a fantastic plan that God has and a fantastic way of working it all out. It's really quite a marvelous thing indeed. The whole earth, as we have seen, is going to be transformed. Okay? Now, we know in Daniel, the second chapter, Daniel said of the vision that Nebuchadnezzar had, that the stone that was cut out of the mountain smashed the whole image on its feet, and everything collapsed, and it consumed everything. So there's going to be a complete redo of the whole world. It is going to be an absolutely fantastic and mammoth and wonderful thing indeed. Now, let's come here to Daniel, the seventh chapter, and we will see very clearly that God has planned it, that he is going to use us to help complete and fulfill his plan. That's why we're the first fruits. That's why we're in the first resurrection, which is called a superior resurrection, and will be in a superior status through all eternity. So this is why we need to be zealous and faithful and loving God and serving him, because this is exactly what we need to be teaching them. Now notice Daniel 7. Now, verse 25, this talks about the conflict that has been between the world and the governments and the churches and the religions against the people of God. And you go through the whole history of the church. We are living right now in a fantastic and unusual age where the things of men are going to rise, how should we say, technologically to their highest pinnacle since the days of Noah. But human nature has never changed. And Satan is the god of this world, and he is the one who is behind all of this. Now let's come to Daniel 7. Now notice, this beast power at the end time, who is what? Empowered by Satan? People worship him as God, and as we have seen, goes into the temple of God, saying and proclaiming he is God. Now here's what he's going to do. Verse 25, Daniel 7. And he shall speak words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change the set times and the laws. And of course, what is this system called? The mystery of lawlessness. Everything against God, and setting up and establishing lawless laws. And that's the way that human nature is. So, brethren, we need to understand this. We're dealing with people in the millennium, and of course, we'll be given spirit, body, spirit, minds, and have insight in order to understand what they're doing, how they're thinking, and all of that. However, we need to understand what human nature is like. And living in this world, this is how it is. And as we have covered in some sermons, all of the lawlessness starts with the religious leaders. And then all of those who are the civil leaders. And look at the mess that the world has gotten itself in as a result of that. Yes. And they shall be given into his hand until a time, times, and half a time. So there's persecution coming. It's closer than ever before, just around the corner. But the judgment shall sit, tie that in with Revelation 20, and his dominion shall be taken away. Yes, all the rule, when the judgment of the saints come, all the dominion, all the rule, as verse 26 says, shall be taken away and consumed and be destroyed unto the end. So this is a prophecy clear to the end of this physical earth, right up to New Jerusalem and the new heavens and the new earth. Now notice this promise. Now you think about what God has promised us and what he is going to give to the saints and what we are going to do. This is awesome, brethren. Think on this, verse 27. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. That is marvelous and fantastic to understand. And we need to thank God that we have a part in it. We need to thank him for his goodness and his truth and his mercy, and that he is teaching and training us through his word, through his spirit, so that we can be prepared, so that we can assist him in this great plan. Think about it. God has created the heavens and the earth and all the heavens out there. What is that for? Well, as yet, we don't know. But we will know when we're raised from the dead and understand more of God's plan. Now, notice about this kingdom, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And all kingdoms shall serve and obey him. What a fantastic time that is. Let's understand this concerning the plan of God, which is, it is so great, it is so marvelous, that there cannot be any rebellion and lawlessness. We were all going to love and obey God, and that's what we are going to teach the people as we see. This is a marvelous and wonderful thing for us to understand. All right. Now let's turn to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 12. Very interesting, a very short chapter. But what this does, this tells us what we are going to do, how we are going to have reign over the people, what the condition of the people will be, and this very short 6-verse chapter is really very interesting when you understand about the millennium. Now, this shows that there will be repentance, the people will repent, and this is talking about Israel and all of those who come into the millennium. And in that day you shall say, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, though you were angry with me, yes, went through the tribulation, went through all those difficulties, your anger is turned away, and you do comfort me. And that's what the millennium is called. The comfort of God, the rest of God, the righteousness of God, we'll see that. Okay? Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. Now, isn't that what it says? Everyone is going to be sitting under his fig tree and under his vine, and no one is going to make him afraid. And no one is going to declare war or have war anymore. Now that's something. Look at the world today. War everywhere. Fighting everywhere. Hate everywhere. Right? Well, don't let it get you down. When you start getting drugged down by the thoughts of some of those things and seeing these things happen on the news, just think to yourself how much you need to grow and overcome, because God has called you and me and all that he has called to solve this. Now, that's going to be something. And there won't be any election. No, we are already selected for that. And God is going to appoint us, each one of us, to a perfect job, a perfect life. So keep that in mind. Don't get discouraged. Don't get down. Don't worry about what's going to happen. Don't worry, is Trump going to make it into the presidency, or is Hillary going to be there? What is it going to be like? We don't know. So what we have to do is trust in God and look forward to the future, what God has promised us. Continuing now, for the Lord God is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He's going to bring salvation to the whole world. And with joy you shall draw water out of the wells of salvation. Now this is an overflowing of the Holy Spirit of God. And it'd be just like drawing water out of wells. You know, a little sidebar here. I saw a special some time ago on Petra. Now, Petra has been said in the past, and it still may be true, may be the place of safety. But what we haven't realized is this, that all through the years, the Bedouins have been excavating and finding caverns and finding rooms and finding, guess what? There is a perpetual running spring of water in Petra. I'll just let you think on that, and we'll continue. Verse 4, and in that day you shall say, praise the Lord. Call upon his name, declare his doing among the people. His doings, everything God is doing. Okay? And make mention that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. This is known in all the world, because we will be teaching the people of the world. Christ is going to be reigning from Jerusalem. And I'm sure that he's just not going to sit there on the throne. There's the whole earth to take care of. Wonder what it's going to be like when Jesus, the King of the earth, comes to visit this country or that country or the other country and inspire the people and teach them himself. Think of that. All right? This is why, verse 6, cry out and shout, O inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst. Now that's in the temple, in the city of Zion. Quite a thing. Now, let's come here and see something really important. Since we're right here at Isaiah 12, let's go back one chapter and chapter 11, okay? Now, let's pick it up here in verse 2. This is talking about Christ. Now, notice the foundations of everything that's going to be taught, okay? And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. That's on Christ and every one of us. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. Now, how do we gain wisdom and understanding? By studying the Bible, by living with God's laws and commandments, by understanding how things work and function. That is according to the will of God. That's the most important thing. Mechanical things and buildings and things like that, that can all come later. We need wisdom and understanding. Now, if you want to grow in wisdom and understanding, study the book of Proverbs. That is fantastic. That shows you how to get wisdom, how to seek these things, okay? The spirit of counsel and might will help people with their problems, help them with their emotions, help them to overcome, especially at the beginning of the millennium. I mean, nearly everyone is going to be a basket case. The spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Now, just think of this. Since the kingdom of God, there is going to be no end. As far as we know, is there an end of knowledge of God? No. Well, think what we're going to be learning all during the millennium. And if you think that is great, I don't know if we can even contemplate it. What is it going to be like to be growing in grace and knowledge for all eternity? That just leaves me blank. I don't know what to say about that. See? So don't worry. You can say, well, I haven't been educated. Well, in some ways, you're really blessed. See? Because a lot of those who have been educated have had a false education, a false way, and they, in fact, have more to learn and overcome than you do. See? And besides, when we're spirit beings, everything is going to be changed. That's going to be a fantastic thing for us. Now, verse 3, this is talking about Jesus' first coming. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge according to the sight of his eyes, nor after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge. Now, we saw that in John, the 4th chapter. A lot of people think that that was an act of forgiveness. No, that was an act of judgment. Little sidebar. How can you catch a woman in adultery and you don't catch the man? And how can you have a judgment to stone her to death, as the Pharisees and priests wanted Jesus to assure them that should happen to this woman? If you don't bring the man, because the law of Moses says what? Both would be judged. Both would die. So you see, if Jesus would have done anything other than he had done, that would have been an unrighteous judgment. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and with equity shall reprove and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth and with the breath of his lips, he shall slay the wicked. Get rid of them all. Now, what's going to happen to the wicked? We'll talk about that a little bit later. We covered it yesterday somewhat, but we'll expand upon that and see many different things concerning the wicked. But you cannot have the wicked living among the righteous. Let's go forward here. Now we saw how this is, the wolf is going to lay down with the lamb, the leopard with the kid, the calf and the cub, lions and the fatling shall all be together, okay? Cow and the bear, and they are not going to hurt and destroy in all my holy mountain, etc. All right? Now, verse 9. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Now, we need to think on that. How deep is the ocean? Well, there are certain places that go down, what, 17,000 feet, even more? Some say down to 5 to 7 miles. We don't know. But how much water is there? Plenty. That's in all the oceans and the seas. But did you know that there's a part beneath that where there is locked in water? And men have just discovered that, and they don't know what to think about it. They don't know what to do about it. But a little sidebar, that tells you, where did God get all the water to flood the earth? It was here all the time. Plus, he caused it to rain. All right? Now, verse 10. And in that day there shall be the root of Jesse standing as a banner for the people. To him the nations shall seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Now, we're going to see tomorrow that for Israel, there were only two times where they had rest. All right, let's go forward here. Let's come to Isaiah 25. Isaiah 25. Isn't it interesting? The millennium has to do more with all the physical people, and nearly 80 to 90% of what we teach concerning the kingdom of God in the millennium is found where? In the prophets of the Old Testament. For physical people. Now, for the New Testament, that is for those, the training for those who will be the kings and priests and rulers. And we find not very much concerning the physical aspects of the kingdom of God there. Rather, what do we find? We find the emphasis on spiritual training, spiritual teaching, spiritual understanding, growing in grace and knowledge, having a relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God the Father and Jesus dwelling in us. All of that's in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, there are a few prophecies concerning that. But isn't that interesting, the way that God has designed the Bible? Now, Isaiah 25 and verse 6. And in this mountain the Lord of hosts shall make a feast of fat things for all people, the best of everything for all people. A feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of refined wines on the lees, and he will destroy in this mountain the face of covering which covers all people, the veil that is woven over all nations. Gonna remove the worldwide deception of Satan the devil, who operates spiritual wickedness in high places, in the rulers of this world. That's why God is training us, calling us. This is why, brethren, we all need to maintain, as we covered before the feast, our relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ through prayer and study all the time, because God is doing a wonderful and marvelous work to prepare us to rule with Christ and to be with God the Father as well. What a wonderful thing that is. Now in verse 8, it says, he will destroy death forever. That is not yet come, nor will it come until when? At the very end. And what is the last death? The lake of fire, as we will see. So this is a prophecy. Down through all human history, there will come a time when God will do that. Now for us, we die in Adam, but raised in Christ. And for us, will he destroy death for us? Yes. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. And he shall take away from all the earth the rebuke of his people, for the Lord has spoken it. Now, what a glorious time that is. You compare that with what Jesus said in Matthew 24 and Luke 13, Luke 21 and Mark 13, about how the world is going to have the greatest tribulation and upset, that if Jesus didn't return, there'd be no flesh saved. But here he says that he is going to save them, okay? Verse 9, and one shall say in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him. He will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation, and the hand of the Lord shall rest in this mountain. That's going to be quite a thing. The mountain of the Lord, spoken of there in Isaiah 2 and Malachi 4. All right? Now let's continue on. Let's look at it. Now let's come to Psalm 45. Verse 1. Psalm 45. Now there, in the Psalms, there are a good number of things concerning the kingdom of God, being like God. We're even called gods in Psalm 82. Now, verse 1, Psalm, let's pick it up here, Psalm 47. Here's how it's going to be, okay? Clap your hands, all you people. Shout to God with the voice of triumph, for the Lord God Most High is awesome, and he is a great king over all the earth. And he shall subdue the people under us, a prophecy of us ruling with him. Think of that. And nations under our feet. So that tells you we're going to have a lot of authority. That tells you we're going to have a tremendous job to do, doesn't it? Okay. Now, verse 4, he shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom he loved, Selah. Now, think on that in relationship to the New Testament. We are the spiritual seed of Abraham. We are the spiritual Israel of God. We are the spiritual Jacob of God. Isn't that something? So he's going to do that. He's going to make it possible. All right? Now, when you read the different Psalms and you read the different prophecies, there's going to be one thing that's going on during the millennium all the time. There's going to be a lot of singing. A lot of singing. That is going to be something indeed to really contemplate and behold. So, and I hope at that time all of us have good singing voices so that we don't have to make any joyful noises any longer. Now let's continue. Now verse 7, for God is king of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding. You're going to be a whole different aspect of living and existence and love and joy and power. It's going to be something. I don't even think we're going to recognize, I mean, viewing it from today, looking toward that, that we can even recognize what it's going to be like for human beings then. Think on that. I think you're going to be so much greater than we are. Look at what they're going to be taught. Look at what they're going to be doing. Now notice, verse 8, God reigns over the nations. God sits upon the throne of his holiness. The rulers of the people are gathered together. The people of the God of Abraham, for the shields of the earth are God's. He is greatly exalted. Now that's talking about our administration of running the world. That is going to be a tremendous and fantastic thing. Think on that. All right. Now, come over here. Come over here to, yes. Now let's come to Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14. Let's pick it up in verse 3. Now what is interesting here is, many of the things that talk about the millennium also relate back to the end of the Babylon, the great rulership of the world. And here it does at this particular point, verse 3. And it shall come to pass in that day, wherever you see in that day, and then it talks about the millennium, that's talking about what we are going to do and the people we're going to serve, etc. The Lord shall give you rest from your sorrow, straighten out all lives, emotions, and everything like that, from your fear and from your hard bondage which was imposed upon you. And we know through other prophecies that that is coming. And you shall take up this song against the king of Babylon, who the power behind that was Satan the devil. How the oppressor has ceased. So what's going to happen? We're going to be continually understanding where we have come from. Look back and see that's not the way to do it. And here's God's way, and here is how to do it. We'll see that in a little bit. How the oppressor has ceased. How his fury has ceased. Now think about all of those who will be resurrected, who had their heads cut off. Isn't it interesting what happened recently here this past summer in France? There was a priest of a Catholic church that the ISIS terrorist went in, cut his head off. Well, you read Revelation 20, it says, and those who were beheaded for the witness of Christ. Okay, so this would be a wonderful song to sing then, right? Oh, you cut my head off, but look what God has done for me. That'll be quite a song, won't it? Okay. The Lord has broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers, who struck the people in wrath with unceasing blows, ruling the nations in anger and with an unrelenting persecution. So this tells us what it is going to be like just before the resurrection. Then the millennium is instituted, verse 7. All the earth is at rest. Now just put in your margin there, Isaiah chapter 11. And is quiet. They break out in singing. Yea, the trees rejoice at you, the cedars of Lebanon, saying, since you have fallen, no woodcutter will come up against us. Isn't that something? That talking about coming to after people as if they are wood or as if they are trees and cutting them down. Okay, now let's go ahead and take a short break and we'll be back.